In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Venerable religious and dear parishioners, every November I give a sermon on purgatory, because of course that is the devotion for the month. And you may have heard sermons already from the other priests this month on purgatory, but it doesn't hurt to reflect upon this great doctrine, that there's this intermediate place between earth and heaven for those that die in sanctifying grace, where they have to be sufficiently purified before they can enter heaven. So let's reflect upon the doctrine of purgatory today as we continue to help the holy souls in special ways during this month. And it actually fits in very well with the last Sunday after Pentecost, because our Lord is predicting, prophesying the judgment that will take place at the end of the world. So today is a reflection on justice. Justice meaning reward that is given for good done, but punishment for sin committed. And it's easy for us to lose sight of the justice of God, how there has to be a rendering of an account for each misdeed that is committed in life. It's true that after the general judgment, there will be no purgatory. So that's the big difference between the general judgment, or one of the big differences between the general judgment and the particular judgment. So wherever a person dies, he or she is judged by our Lord right there and then. That we call that the particular judgment. And there's only one of three places to which the soul goes: heaven, hell, or purgatory. Heaven, if the person dies in the state of grace and somehow has no purgatory time saved up, has done sufficient penance for all of one's sins. It's extremely, extremely rare. It would happen, for example, in the case of a martyr, somebody who died for Christ. That person's purgatory time is wiped away. Or if a person conceivably died right after being baptized. But as you can see, these are very rare. If the soul dies in mortal sin, that soul goes to hell. Even without the body, that soul goes to hell and will be there for all eternity. Now, there's a very sobering thought. All of that person's chances have been used up. There's no more of another chance. So I would say the vast majority of those who die in the state of grace will have to spend time in purgatory. And it's easy to forget this, that each sin, larger, in other words, every venial sin has to be atoned for. Every mortal sin, which was forgiven, that's why they died in sanctifying grace, has to be atoned for, has to be sufficiently made up for. And even our faults, our tiny faults that we commit so readily and thoughtlessly, each one of those has to be purified or atoned for in purgatory. And it's really all about justice. You see, our lives are filled with God's mercy. Every day we have many opportunities for mercy. We tend to take it for granted, don't we? How much mercy we receive throughout our lives. Another couple of reasons that make us forget about God's justice, well, the fact that all of the Protestant religions deny the existence of purgatory. They absolutely reject it. Martin Luther was ridiculing the doctrine of indulgences in his 95 theses that he posted in October of 1517. How tragic. Indulgences are a very easy way to diminish and even eliminate one's purgatory time. So the Protestants all deny it. The Vatican II Church has added to this problem by eliminating black as a liturgical color. It's so incongruent at a funeral where common sense tells us to put on the black of mourning, and then you see white vestments. The implication there is that person's in heaven. And so it has diminished very significantly the idea, the concept of offering suffrages for the holy souls. Again, our modern world has lost sight of the idea of justice. That God, yes, he gives mercy to us in this life more than we realize. But after this life is over, then it's about justice. You know, one analogy that we could use to help us not forget about God's justice is the idea that if a person commits a crime and is caught, is convicted, no matter how sorry that person is, no matter how much that person repents of what he or she did, they still have to fulfill their punishment, whatever it may be. However long they'll have to be in jail. So there's a way to understand justice. You see, we go to confession to get forgiveness. We need that. We can be very sorry, but we have to now make up for our sins. And the very typically light penance we get in confession does not take care of all of our atoning that needs to be done. So we do ourselves a tremendous favor, to say the least, by overcoming sin, by lessening the sins that we will have to atone for, and by works of penance. We have to atone. We have to be purified of all the stains that sin has left on our souls. The Mass is the greatest way to deal with our debt of atonement for sin. So this is why devout Catholics often go to Holy Mass, not just on Sundays. They realize the need to offer that atonement for sin. And the Mass is the greatest way to atone for our sins and to help the souls in purgatory. That's church teaching. But also offering up works of penance, fasting, sacrifice, offering up things, even like right now, the cold that you feel in church, offer that up for your sins. Offer it for the holy souls in purgatory to help diminish their suffering so that they can get out of purgatory sooner. Indulgences. We've talked about this already earlier this month, so I won't do it now, but what an easy way, either a partial indulgence or a plenary indulgence. Prayer is always a way of diminishing our debt of punishment. I wanted to also share a couple of stories with you from the book on purgatory. that reminds us not only that we must atone for our sins, but there are things that we have to make sure that are not left undone before we are called from this life. And as we know, it could be any time. We do not know the day or the hour. So let me read this to you. And this is from chapter 31 on the book on purgatory. And this is, I'll just read here. Father Rossignol relates a story here of a painter of great skill and otherwise exemplary life. He had once made a painting not at all conformable to the strict rules of Christian modesty. It was one of those paintings which, under the pretext of being works of art, are found in the best families, and the sight of which causes the loss of so many souls. True art is an inspiration from heaven which elevates the soul to God. Profane art, which appeals to the senses only, which presents to the eye nothing but the beauties of flesh and blood, is but an inspiration of the evil spirit. The artist of whom we speak had allowed himself to be misled in this point by bad example. Soon, however, renouncing this pernicious style, he confined himself to the production of religious pictures, or at least of those which were perfectly irreproachable. Finally, he was painting a large picture in the convent of the Discalced Carmelites when he was attacked by a mortal malady. And so basically he died soon after that. But he also bequeathed to that Carmelite convent his earnings, which amounted to a considerable sum of money, and the money was to be used for masses for the repose of his soul. He died in pious sentiments, and a few days passed when a religious who stayed in the choir after matins saw him appear in the midst of flames and sighing piteously. "What," said the religious, "have you to endure such pain after leading so good a life and dying so holy a death?" "Alas," he replied, "it is on account of the immodest picture which I painted some years ago. When I appeared before the tribunal of the sovereign judge, a crowd of accusers came to give evidence against me. They declared that they had been excited to improper thoughts and evil desires by a picture, the work of my hand. In consequence of those bad thoughts, some were in purgatory, others were in hell. The latter cried for vengeance, saying that having been the cause of their eternal perdition, I deserved at least the same punishment. Then the Blessed Virgin and the saints whom I had glorified by my pictures took up by my defense." And I'm going to just paraphrase the rest of this. So basically, he was able to die in the state of grace, and his good paintings made up for that bad painting. But here's the point. He could not leave purgatory until that painting was destroyed. Because as long as that painting was there, it continued to lead souls either to purgatory, more purgatory, or to hell. So, again, no exit from purgatory until that was removed. I couldn't help but think of it in our age. Of course, we live in the age of photography, where it's so easy to photograph. But in this age of social media, how many photos are there that are leading souls to hell and to more purgatory time, to say the least? Take the hint. If there's anything you've posted or have influence over somebody else who has posted, pick photos that are occasions of sin. Get rid of them. And I'll paraphrase the other story here. This is about two merchants who had unfortunately defrauded people in the course of their lives. And They, by the grace of God, they were able to die repentant of their sins, but they too could not leave purgatory until all of the theft that they had committed had been, the restitution had been done. So they implored the person who saw that they were able to appear to a person and say, please implore our heirs who inherited our wealth that they must do that restitution because we cannot leave purgatory until that's done. So very sobering thoughts here. But my dear brethren, we need to meditate on God's justice, his mercy, absolutely. But let's not forget that he is all just. It should not be a demoralizing or discouraging thought. It is a very helpful thought. It is a help to virtue. There's a saying among so many saints, before you sin, think of God's justice, and that will help you from sinning. But after you have sinned, then reflect on God's mercy because he does want to give it to you when we repent. So let us help the holy souls throughout our lives. The more we help them, the more we are helping ourselves. And the sooner we will be able to enter our heavenly reward if, having persevered in the state of grace, we are ready to meet Jesus, to go to Jesus when he calls us. May we find more mercy than justice when we are before him who died on the cross for us and will be our judge, both at our particular and at the general judgment, which will be at the end of the world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.